Good morning. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for coming to BCEC's College Sunday School, which we call Trellis. And I hope you guys all wished your mom a happy Mother's Day, either by card, phone, text, email, or G-chat. Yeah, I think I covered all the media. Today we're going to be continuing our series on life together. And like I had mentioned 3 weeks ago, we're in the chapter called Ministry. This is where Bonhoeffer is discussing about how do we communicate, how do we interact within a community. He's talked about how destructive self-justification can be in the community, where we put each other, we put ourselves and our egos before others, and we, you know, make comparisons against different people, and we compare ourselves to people. He's talked about the power of learning to control your tongue, the discipline of controlling your tongue, where how the tongue is reflective of what's on your heart, and that the best way to combat this is to go back to the cross, to go back to the significance of that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. And because God chose us individually, that's where we base our worth from. So there's no need for us to try to prove ourselves, to justify ourselves. And also, it's humbling. It's humbling because we did nothing to earn it. It was a free gift from God. And that humbleness allows us to be able to not just to have a restored relationship with each other, but also a restored relationship with God. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in this chapter of ministry, is using that concept of being humbled by the cross to springboard to different types of acts of service, acts of ministry that we can perform in a community. Like, for example, today we're going to be talking about listening. A lot of us don't really think about listening as an act of service, an act of ministry to one another. We're going to be talking about being helpful. Later on, we're going to talk about, in the following weeks, about sharing each other's burdens, encouraging each other, and also proclaiming the word to each other, sharing the gospel to each other. So, to start us all off, I've got two discussion questions in the front of your handout, if you can look down. First one is, what are the physical and vocal cues that let a person know that he's being listened to? Second question would be, why don't we take the time to listen to each other? Or we have this urgency, this this wanting to always put in your 2 cents, to always want to give advice. So I'll give you guys maybe 5 minutes to discuss, and then I'll bring you guys back, and we can share. You guys can share with the different tables what you guys have talked about. So I'd recommend somebody to be the appointed scribe and maybe the designated spokesperson. So, oh, you need one? Yep. All right, so, yep, I'll gather you guys back in about 5 minutes. If you can guys start and introduce yourselves if you don't know each other. And go. Okay. If I can have your attention. So for question one, what are some of the physical and the vocal cues that let a person know that he's being listened to? What have you guys shared at your table? what were some of those vocal or physical cues? Which table would like to share first? Josiah's table. What do you guys have? Repetition of words? Repeating what they said? Okay.
Not doing other things, but just a general responding slash reaction to their statements.
Responding to their statements. Kind of.
Like, if they're asking a question, you should probably respond.
Oh, right. So if it's a question, you respond to it with an answer, nodding. Did you guys come with anything else? That's it? Looks like, okay, Calvin's got his hand up.
Just to piggyback on the question, like, your response should be appropriate in the sense, like, they're like, oh, what time is it? You're like, oh, blue.
Appropriate response, right.
You know, like, they're probably not listening.
Right. Appropriate response to the question being asked. Any other tables? I think I saw Kirkland's table had something.
They mentioned that we also mentioned, like, for instance, if you're listening to, like, a professor, maybe, like, taking notes.
Taking notes, right? That's a good one. Especially in a class setting or in a Sunday school setting or somewhere you're learning. I wasn't hinting about trellis. I was just giving a quick example. Any other tables want to have anything that hasn't been brought out yet? Physical, vocal cues to know that someone's being listened to. Charles.
They're leaning towards you.
Leaning towards you. Within the 3 feet, appropriate 3 feet, personal space distance. Right. So leaning forward when they're talking to you, it means that they're being attentive. That's a good one. Josiah's table.
I think I also heard somewhere that, like, it's when someone's, like, talking to you, it's good to, like, assume the same posture as they are. Like, say if you're sitting on a chair, you should assume the same posture as they are. Apparently that's very conducive to, like, listening.
So copying their posture. Yeah. So if I'm slouched back like this, you should be doing the same when you're listening.
Maybe. Like, not a posture that's too different. That's what I had, like, back in high school, though.
Okay. I don't know, okay, so adapting your posture to listen to the person who's speaking to make them more comfortable. Any other examples? Yes.
You said that it's different in different cultures, so, like, to understand, like, the cultural context is, like, for one example, Jesus said that in Korea, like, when someone's listening to you, they'll never look in your eyes, because especially if it's, like, a superior. Like, everyone around, but then in America, like, if you're not looking in their eyes, it's like you're not really listening to them, or that's, like, the impression. So, like, just, like, based off of, like, where you are and, like, all different.
Good. That's very good. It's awesome. You have to pay attention to the social mores of that culture. She was bringing up the examples. When you're listening and talking, especially if the person's higher in rank or in status, you don't look to them eye to eye. Well, compared to here in America, you know, you want to look them right in the face. You want to be able to make eye contact. That's very good. Any other tables? What? Don't look at your cell phone. Yeah, don't look at your cell phone. Don't look at your watch. Ooh, yeah. Don't say, "Are we done yet?" So that's a no. That's one of not listening. Are we done yet? Any other examples? All right. So moving on to question two. Whoops. Alex?
Follow-up questions.
How so?
Like, I don't have an example of it.
So follow-up questions after listening to that person for a period of time?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yep.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Good one. Following a person falling off the building and then asking...
Off the building.
And then asking if they're okay?
Listening.
Okay, moving on. Question two, why don't we take time to listen to each other? Or why do we feel the need to give advice all the time? What do you guys have come up with on the table? Charles?
You think we're better than them?
You think that you're better than them? Good response. Want to elaborate?
Well, you feel like you need to give advice all the time because you might think that you do stuff, you do the thing better than they do, and so you give advice on how to do it. Maybe they don't want advice.
Right, right. Good. Yeah, so giving advice because you think you're better. Do you think you have more knowledge or you have more experience? And that you, or you can do it better than them. Calvin's table?
So, in response to the first question, we said usually don't take the time to listen to each other because we very often want to be listened to. Like, we want to talk rather than listen. That's very often why we're not listening. And then, in response to the second, we also said, there's a certain aspect like we don't want to seem like unintelligent or unknowledgeable or even uncaring. So the proper response is like to give advice because that's like the most caring thing, the most intelligent. Like, oh, and I know what you're talking about, and I'm an expert in that field. So
okay, right. So the sum up first is you want to be listened to, so you speak, and then for different reasons, like you want to sound like you're knowledgeable or you sound like you care, you give advice. All right, this table has something to share.
Well, I was just thinking that sometimes people process information differently because some people are linear thinkers.
Okay.
Other people tend to think in cycles. So a lot of people who tend to process information differently are really just trying to figure out what they think on something. So if they're talking to someone who thinks in a linear way, I don't see the point of this conversation, so they may not take the time to listen to
someone else. Okay, so depending on how your mindset is, how your thinking is wired, you may just say something to get out of the conversation. Yeah. Yeah, I've been guilty of that with my 7-year-old a lot. Any other tables like to share? Yes.
What GA said,
Kirkland said, okay.
Our table decided that whenever we hear someone else's, they have a problem or something, just to answer the second question, we try to project ourselves onto that problem. We have this kind of feeling that, well, if that happened to me, this is what I would do, which is the best.
Right. Right. So self-projection, putting yourself in their shoes and giving advice based off your own experiences, not exactly listening to their circumstance completely. Any other tables like to share before we move on? Pastor Enoch?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about sometimes we share advice with maybe a little condescending. Sometimes we just misconstrue what they need or want. We think they're coming for a help or a solution, and that's why we feel really bad if we have nothing to say. But actually, maybe in some cases they do, but in other cases they just want to know someone cares. So maybe an answer we don't understand what the person wants. We might undervalue listening as a way to care.
Right, we're going to be talking about that subject. What Pastor Jonas would say is we undervalue the art of listening. A lot of times people want to just know that being cared for by being listened to. And sometimes when we give advice, we may not have listened attentively and maybe misconstrued the information, or, which is worse, give out information in a condescending manner. Okay, so leaping off of that, Pastor Enoch, I can transition gracefully into the lesson. We're going to talk about two things today from the book. It's listening, the ministry of listening, and the ministry of helpfulness. So I started on the if you look at your handout on the top page, I start off with a quote saying from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, where he says, "We are apt these days to reply too quickly to the one real service to our neighbor is to minister him in the Word of God. It's true that there is no service that compares with this one, and even more, that every other service is performed for the sake of the service of the Word of God. Yet a Christian community does not consist solely of preachers of the Word. We can go monstrously wrong here if we overlook a number of other things." So sharing the gospel is very important. It is pivotal in a Christian community. Sharing the gospel, encouraging each other with God's word, edifying each other and correcting each other with God's word. But it'd be foolhardy to overlook other acts of services that is necessary in order to speak the gospel to each other. There are other ministries essential for a healthy, growing Christian community. These acts of services are as they say, where the rubber tires of our faith meets the asphalt road of life that God has set us on. So, listening with the ears of God. What does that exactly mean? A lot of times we've talked about, Kirkland's table mentioned active listening, which is a skill set. It's a skill set where we train and discipline ourselves to pay attention, to be able to interact with the speaker, to acknowledge that they're being listened to. But those are just the skill sets. You can actively listen and, you know, nod your head, ask response questions, and still really not care what that person's talking about. You can nod your head and just inside not pay attention. I was reading Calvin and Hobbes. You guys still read Calvin and Hobbes, right? All right. So there was one where I was reading it two nights ago just because I was taking a break. And there was one episode where he was doing something really wrong. He didn't do his homework, and he didn't do it for the whole afternoon. And he got caught by his mom, and he's sitting in his chair. His mom is standing there like this, and she's talking to him, lecturing, basically, because of what he did wrong. The whole time the mother is speaking, he's basically giving a long recap of what happened to him, how his adventure started by becoming weightlessness, but, you know, and floating in the air, and then floating out of his house, going over from the suburban to the city where, you know, he was looking for his dad. And all of a sudden, instead of just floating away, he started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then he got so big, he, you know, went to outer space. Blah, 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 it goes on. And the whole time he's doing this, the mother is speaking. And then one frame, the last frame is, he says, "Oh, mom is wrapping up. I better start nodding my head." And you see him doing this. And the mother is going, "Well, I'm glad we had this conversation. I hope you understand." He sat there quietly looking at his mom, but his head was in just totally somewhere else, in another complete world, and he nodded to his mom, giving the recognition that, you know, I've paid attention the whole time, which he didn't. So a lot of times we listen or we do these physical and vocal cues, but in our heart and in our mind, we may not be really paying attention. So if you look in your handout in section listening with the ears of God, number one, it says, "The art of listening is a basic first step in any type of relationship. We listen to God speak to us at the beginning of our relationship with him. We heard God call us. We heard God call us. We heard the gospel. So with our relationships, you know, the first thing you do is is we listen. When you first meet somebody, it's hi, right? Or hello, my name is. Hi, Josh. First time I actually met you for the first time, right? Michael. Ah, crap. See, I wasn't listening. Good example of me not listening. Micah. Good example of me not listening. Also, I'm bad with words. But it shows that to start off any type of relationship, you have to listen first. And you have to acknowledge that speaker, which I just did horribly. And this is the same with God. God called each of us individually by name, and we responded, and we accepted Christ. For the ones here who are Christian. And it goes the same way when we are with other people. When we meet introductions, when we first get to know somebody, there is a dialogue, and there is speaking, and then there's listening. So the feeling of being listened to, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, is a very basic need that every human being craves. And a lot of times it's not met. So that's why he says, just as love to God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. It is God's love for us that he not only gives his word, but also he lends us his ear. So it is his work that we do for our brother when we listen, learn to listen to him. I think when we read the Bible a lot, we hear, I think we sometimes overlook that God listens to us. You know, we flip open and we see the New Testament. There's a lot of red, meaning that that's what Jesus was saying. We look in the Old Testament, we see a lot of God proclaiming and revealing himself. But I think an aspect that we forget is God listens to us. God has given to us his ear. For example, in the beginning of Exodus, God heard the cries of the Israelites who were in slavery in Egypt. God heard their cries. And he told Moses, you know, and empowered Moses to go to Egypt. When we read the Psalms that King David wrote, they're not just for the entire not just for the nation of Israel. A lot of those psalms were written for God. They were prayers to God. They were laments to God. King David knew that when he wrote these, when he penned these poems, these prayers, he knew that God was going to listen. And when, during the ancient times, during the kingdom of Judah and of Israel, you know, God through the spoke through the prophet saying, I am not listening to you because of you're not listening to me. You have disobeyed my laws. You have worshipped other gods. You're not listening to me. So your sacrifices I'm not going to acknowledge. So God is a God of not just proclaiming his truth and his power, but also his ear. We can see even more recently in a couple of sermons ago, for the Easter series, where Jesus met Mary and Martha after Lazarus died. With Martha, Jesus spoke about what he's about to do at length. With Mary, he wept. He heard Mary. He didn't speak anything. He listened and he wept with her. So God is a God of listening also. So the reason I'm bringing this up is we have a tendency to forget to listen in our daily interactions. Bonhoeffer writes, if you look at the bottom of your handout on the front page, it says, they forget that listening can be a greater service than speaking. Many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find it among Christians because these Christians are talking when they should be listening. So you flip over to your to the next page. So in number two, the way we listen to each other is reflective of our own relationship with God. If we are not willing to listen to people, we will soon not listen to God. Two. So in our prayer life and in our quiet times and our devotions, how are we in our relationship with God? Are we doing a lot of, are we asking God in our prayers a lot of things? Are we, when we look at, when we read God's word, are we listening to what God wants us to speak? I mean, wants us to learn. Do we sit in our quiet times just listening, just in silence, quieting our hearts and listen? Because the way we interact with God in our internal, our private spiritual life, it will reflect on how we interact with each other. If we, I'll be bold, if we sit and we pray to God and we do a lot of the speaking, we do a lot of the asking, a lot of the talking in our prayer, you know, that will carry over to how we communicate with people in the community. We will develop a habit of not listening. We will talk more than we listen. Bonhoeffer says, "But he who can no longer listen to his brother will soon be no longer listening to God either. He will be doing nothing but prattle in the presence of God too. This is the beginning of death for the spiritual life. And in the end, there's nothing left by the spiritual chatter and the clerical condensation arrayed in pious words. One who cannot listen long and patiently will presently be talking beside the point and never really speaking to others, albeit he may not be conscious of it. Anyone who thinks that his time is too valuable to be spent keeping quiet will eventually have no time for God and his brother, but only for himself and his own follies. So when we learn not to listen, develop this habit of not listening, when we communicate, we're not going to be communicating in the level where we are learning about each other, understanding each other, and we won't be able to speak. All right, we'll basically end up debating or just sharing information, which in a relationship, it doesn't deepen a friendship. It doesn't strengthen a friendship. When we engage in a conversation where we're just talking about debating about politics or debating about environmentalism or, you know, the latest trends, we're not putting ourselves in an environment where we can support and edify each other, where we can share our lives with each other. It becomes shallow. And it makes it easy for us to evade subjects that we don't want to talk about. It makes it easy to distance ourselves so we don't have to get out of our comfort zone. Figure it, if you're in a conversation where you are not listening and not understanding each other, you're not going to be, you're less willing to share about something awesome that happened that day. You're not going to be willing to share about, you know, a frustration or a struggle or something that made you sad. Or you won't even be able to share, like, hey, that Thor movie, I just saw it yesterday, it was awesome. You won't be able to because the conversations aren't hitting that level of understanding, of that mutual listening, understanding. So moving on to three, if you look in your handout, listening with humbleness and patience is needed in order to understand each other and meet each other's needs. Pride and self-justification can prevent us to hold our tongue, meet each other where that person is at, and then finally to listen. In Bonhoeffer's book, he makes a clear example between speaking, like how I'm speaking to you now, right? You guys are listening, I'm speaking. It's really not required of the speaker to listen to you, right? It may be required in your college courses, in your classes, to listen to each other. I mean, it's not required in your college courses, in your college classes, for the professor to listen to you while they're teaching. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this to make an important point, that when we are in a community, people who are performing acts of service, like peer-to-peer mentoring, or older and younger mentoring, discipleship, hanging out with your friends, supporting each other in prayer, you are obligated to listen. There's an obligation to listen. And I would actually extend that further, and I might contradict Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's important for the pastoral care roles, like small group leader, that's not pastoral, but for pastors, for deacons, for the Sunday school teachers, to listen also. It may not be in the class setting. It may be offline. It may be, you know, through individual one-on-ones, but it's also important for the pastoral roles to listen. And the reason why we are obligated to listen to is we cannot minister, we cannot help, we cannot pray for somebody if we don't know what's on their heart, if we don't understand them. What ends up happening is, especially with our busy life, or if we're running into a conversation where we don't want to be in, or we think we know, we end up listening with a half ear. We end up listening half-heartedly. He writes, if you look down in the middle of your sheet, he says, there's a kind of listening with a half ear that presumes already to know what the other person has to say. It's an impatient, inattentive listening that despises his brother and is only waiting for a chance to speak and thus get rid of the person. We've all done this. I've done it in my relationships. We live in a fast-paced world. We have a lot of obligations. We have a lot of studying. We don't have time to listen to people. Sometimes, you know, at least for me, you know, give me a bullet point. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, let me pray for you. Especially where, you know, if we're in a small group setting and we're out of time, we run over late. It's like, okay, why don't we just share quickly 1, 2, 3. One person will pray for everybody and then close, right? We're really busy in our life, and that's one of the reasons why we don't take the appropriate time to listen. And also, we may be ambivalent for that person. It's really hard to listen to somebody when you don't like that person, or you find that person really, really annoying. When they go over the same topic over and over and over, and you're nodding your head, going, And you've maybe given your advice 20 conversations ago, but they're just not listening. And you're like, I told you this last week, You know, I think the quote that I just read from Bonhoeffer is directly hitting on that type. You know, we just want to finish conversation and then push it out. And just leave. And then there's the other one, where our ego gets in the way, where we think that, you know, oh, I've been through that. Let me show you how. And that's where I think Pastor Enoch brought up, where we don't listen completely, and we give advice in a condescending manner. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer says that when we don't listen attentively, when we give a half ear and only give 50% or, you know, we don't give 100% to the listening, we're not fulfilling the obligation to listen. We're not meeting God's command to listen to each other. So how do we counteract this? How do we learn to listen? How do we understand why we need to listen? We know why we need to listen to God, but how about other people? Especially people that we only know, you know, as an acquaintance, or who we only see once a week. It all has to go back to, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is great about this, it goes back to the cross. It goes back to the relationship that we have with God and how God restored our relationship with him, where he called us and we listened. And then when we are in our prayer life and in our meditations and in our studying of the word, God is listening to us and God is responding to our speaking. Answered prayer. When we pray, he listens and he answers our prayer. He responds to our prayer. When we study the word and we're meditating it over the day or over the week, something happens that reminds us of that passage. It shows that our relationship with God in speaking and listening is working because we're acknowledging that God is working in our life, that God cares. So he goes further on saying, it's little wonder that we are no longer capable of the greatest service of listening that God has committed to us, that hearing our brother's confession if we refuse to give an ear to our brother on lesser subjects. It's kind of bad in the way this Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, because he says further on, secular education today is aware that often a person can be helped merely by having someone who will listen to him seriously. And upon this site, it has constructed its own soul therapy, which has attracted a great number of people, including Christians. But Christians have forgotten the ministry of listening has been committed by him who himself is a great listener and whose work they should share. We listen with the ears of God that they may speak the word of God. Modern psychology, modern group counseling has acknowledged the fact that listening is very important in relationships and in the healing of a broken relationship or of trauma. But many times Christians fail to listen. And a lot of people who cannot find this listening ear, this Christian listening ear, they will go to others and find care by listening somewhere else. I have, in my experience, known people who have left their friendships or their small groups because they don't feel cared for. They don't feel listened to. They don't feel like they fit in because of, you know, the way people act with each other. They go to find somebody else. Dietrich Bonhoeffer just, you know, nails it right away. That is a failure of the Christian community. But he offers that when we understand that God is a God of listening, and that when we speak to God, when we pray to God, he listens, you know, we are to reflect that in our relationship with others. And when we look at our relationship with God and how big he is and how small we are, how, you know what, honestly, God is so big and powerful, he doesn't really need us. He doesn't really need to listen to us. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But God chose to listen out of his love and out of his truth. So in the same way, when somebody comes to us wanting to speak to us, even if it's a small, trifling matter, we should really listen. Why? Because God did it for us. Our matters are pretty small compared to the Almighty God. But God listens to us, so we should listen to our friends and people in the community, no matter how small it is. And we should do it humbly. We should do it humbly because God listens to us. So, when we listen with God's ears, we have a better understanding of our relationship with God personally and our relationship with others. When we listen attentively and know that person, we are more effective in our acts of service to each other. Moving to the next point, which is the ministry of helpfulness. If we don't know that person, how are we going to help them? If we don't know that a person, had issues with a matter, how do we know to be careful in what we say? How do we know that a person might need help, with a household chore? So Dietrich Bonhoeffer goes and he talks about how in a community there is no task too small for us to perform for each other. So I think due to the time, I will close this lesson for today and we'll move on to the next lesson next week. So let me close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that it's Mother's Day and we can take a time to honor our mothers and our grandmothers, to the people you've brought, to these women who you've brought into our life, and use them to bless us, that we can understand your tenderness and your care through our moms. Father, we praise as we continue the series that we can learn more about how our spiritual life meets the real world through how we interact with each other in different acts of services. Father, we want our faith to be active, and we want our words and our deeds to match our faith. We want to be able to be obedient to you and to be able to trust in you when you call us to listen and to be able to minister to each other. Father, we pray as we go on for the rest of this day, we pray that you can continue to encourage us and have these words stick in our hearts, especially as we have fellowship with each other, either being lunch or doing sports activities. We pray in your son's name. Amen.